As a musician, John Carter has helped create a place for the clarinet in contemporary jazz. As a composer, his most ambitious work is a series of 5 suites called Roots and Folklore, Episodes in the Development of American Folk Music, tracing the music from Africa to bebop. The final suite, Shadows on a Wall, was just released on Gramavision Records. The work just had its world premiere at New Music America. Among the musicians performing in Carter's octet is trumpeter Bobby Bradford, with whom Carter has collaborated since the mid-60s. They both grew up in Texas and met in Los Angeles through Ornette Coleman. From Carter's Shadows on a Wall, this is Hymn to Freedom. Last piece in Shadows on the Wall, Hymn to Freedom, is it's music and text. It's partly a song, which you really haven't written many of, I think.
Well, it's kind of a summation, I guess, in my mind. The Hymn to Freedom, which says essentially that the African made many contributions to this country being what it is, and the black American remains quite loyal as a group of people to this country to this day. It is our home, and it is what we are interested in and concerned about, but we have not come to a point of enjoying all the things that the country has to offer all of its citizens. Okay?
In some of the pieces on Shadows on a Wall, you're paying homage to music of an earlier period in America, but you're doing it with the language of very contemporary jazz. Bit about how you balance those two when you're writing, for instance, 52nd Street Stomp, paying homage to music of the 40s and 50s, but using a musical language of the late 1980s.
Well, I tried to do the whole series like that. I never tried to capture any of the period music. To actually capture that music in terms of writing in that vernacular, I always tried to make reference to whatever period it was, but use whatever contemporary techniques are mine, and I don't know, it worked pretty well as long as I thought of it that way.
You're really one of the musicians who has found a place in contemporary music for the clarinet. The clarinet seemed to disappear with bebop from jazz, but a few musicians, like yourself, found a place for it in contemporary music. Did you ever despair that you wouldn't be able to find a place in modern music for you and your instrument?
No. I never did. Not sure that ever occurred to me. I'm a woodwind player, and by that I mean I play the family of saxophones and flute, and fooled around with the oboe a little bit. And so I have been involved with the woodwind family for very extensively. And my the thought that was strongest on my mind was to try to play, to be, once I decided to just play one instrument, I wanted that instrument to be the one that I could most express, that I could best express my musical ideas with. And after a lot of thought, the clarinet seemed to be the thing that I could do that best on.
The clarinet, I think, is a more technically demanding instrument. It's just easier to get squeaks, easier to lose control. I think you need a more developed embouchure to play clarinet. Did that ever pose problems for you, especially in playing the outside kinds of music that you've played over the years? You know, the avant-garde kind of music where you need control not only in the main register, but also in high squeaky parts. You need to have control while you're losing control.
Yeah, that's true. Bothers me every day. It is a very technically demanding instrument, and I literally every day I work on the instrument and I'm seeking to find new things on it. It's an instrument that I enjoy very much. It has tremendous range. And is very colorful in the various registers and ranges of the instrument. And many things can be done with it. It is given to squeaking on occasion. And, you know, you try to go with the squeaks and find out where they come from and make use of them when you want to rather than when they want to come.
A saxophone cuts through a band much more than a clarinet does. Was it ever a problem being heard?
Yes, it is, and I think this is was one of the problems with the clarinet during the bebop period. It was not an instrument that made the revolutionary kinds of statements that bebop had to make. It was a revolutionary kind of music, and the instruments that had to make that music were instruments that had to have, the sound, the kinds of sound and volume and the properties for cutting through that had to be used at that point. Clarinet was, I think, kind of one of the reasons for its falling out of favor was its inability to have the strong voice that the other the saxophone and trumpet and trombones have.
You know, you use the word revolutionary to describe bebop. When you and Bobby Bradford founded your quartet in Los Angeles in the mid-1960s, did you think of the music you were playing then as revolutionary?
No, we didn't. I don't know how we thought of it. But you know, we never thought of it as being revolutionary music. I think my own thoughts, and I would think Bob's thoughts also, were that we had come up, both of us, during the bebop period, and had gone through, seen and been involved in the beautiful development of that music on through the post bebop period. My thought always was that if Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker and the other bebop giants could had given to the world and to us musicians the step that music had taken, the revolutionary step that music had taken, then it was incumbent upon us to try to take that step and make another step in other directions with using what had been given to us. One, and two, it never occurred to me that I could play anything else on the alto saxophone that Charlie Parker hadn't already played. And so, more than having revolutionary thoughts concerning what we were doing then, I think we just thought that there were other things out there, and perhaps we could find some of them.
Okay, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.